give to you this morning, and I got to share it. I thank God that he just wouldn't let me live anyway. He wouldn't let me live anyway because he wanted me to be his child. And Brother Roy Parker, when he saved my soul, there was a change that took place. Instant. It took place in my life. And the reason it took place in my life is because I served, was saved by a powerful Savior. This morning in John 18, I want to talk about a powerful Savior and three things that he had power over this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, I would ask you to turn with me to John chapter number 18. And verse number 1, I would ask you to stand for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. John chapter number 18 and verse number 1. And the Bible says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. Whew. For Jesus oftentimes is ordered that thither for his disciples. And Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell on the ground. Then asked he again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Father, I love you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for the written, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Lord God, I thank you this morning that this Word is what will change our life. Lord God, I thank you when we read this Word, it has an effect on the preacher and it has an effect on the hearers this morning. Lord God, I would ask you this morning to guard their ears this morning. Lord God, I would ask you this morning to bind Satan up and cast him out the back door. Lord God, for the next few moments, we don't want to hear from no spirit but the Holy Spirit. And Lord God, this morning, if there's a lost man, woman, boy, or girl that has walked into this place this morning, I would pray they'd be born again before it's eternally too late. Father, guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let it all be about you and nothing about me. Father, I read in the Word where you must increase. Whew. And thank you that I must decrease. I love you and I thank you. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. A powerful Savior. As we come to this time of year and we get into the crucifixion and we're walking into the Passover and we're getting closer to the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I thank God that we're in the book of John. I thank God this morning that we're not in the gospel according to Matthew. I thank God that we're not in the gospel according to Mark. I thank God we're not in the gospel according... Turn me down, Brother Dylan. I'm a little bit too loud. I've been told that all my life. I'm just old loud mouth. Can I get an amen? Hey, they, some of you relates to that. Amen. But I thank God this morning we're in the book of John. And I want to give you this account that John's painting here of the powerful Savior. If you go to the book of Matthew and you go to the book of Mark and you go to the book of Luke, you'll see they paint a picture of Jesus Christ in a humble state. Hey, but old John, Brother John, he didn't paint it that way. When he came here, I want you to know, in John's account of Gethsemane, he did not mention Peter, not one time. He did not mention James, not one time. He didn't hear right here in this writing mention John watching. He didn't talk about the Lord. He didn't talk about the prayer. He didn't talk about none of them things when he got here. But he said that John's going to give an account of just what kind of powerful Savior that you and I serve this morning. I want you to know we serve a powerful Savior. Can I get an amen? The prayer, nothing that he done this morning, all he gave an account of is the words that Jesus Christ spoke to these men. And as we come here this morning, we see that he focused on was the power of Jesus Christ. Number one, this morning I want to show you in the text that Jesus, he went over the brook. Look in verse number one. He went over the brook. And I want to break this down so you understand what kind of week we're entering into. He went over the brook. He went over the Kidron Brook. He had power over that brook that he went over. The Bible says, and when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron. You see, he didn't mention no names. The only thing he said, that him and his disciples, they went over the brook. I thank God this morning that he went over the brook. And when he goes over the brook, I can go over the brook too. Can I get an amen? I thank God this morning that the only way to heaven is through the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by being washed in the blood of Jesus. As we see this morning, Jesus went over the brook. The Kidron Brook would be this. It would be the darkness or the dark waters. It would be this. It would be the black brook. At this time, you got to understand the significance of the power of the Savior when he went over the Kidron Brook. Friends, I want you to know at this time of the year, it was the Passover week, and there would be as many as 2.5 million Jews that would be in Jerusalem at this time. And this would mean that 250,000 lambs would be slain in the temple that week. And it would be slain that week, and they would kill them lambs, and they would take that blood, and they would pour that blood all over the altar. And as they poured that blood over that altar, I want you to know that blood would run down and they would have a channel made, and that blood would run out of that temple, and it would run out and it would run down into the Kidron Brook. And when it would run down into that water, they said 250,000 lambs were slain. And when that blood would run into that brook, it would turn just as black as it could be. That blood would just turn into that water. But I want you to know, when it run down that brook, Jesus crossed that brook at that time that that blood was running. And I want you to get this morning. What he mentions there is, when he crossed over that brook and he looked down and he seen that blood, he seen the blood running through the water. I want you to know this morning on the authority of God's word, and I'm excited to tell you this morning, when he crossed over that, he said there'll never be another lame slain after I'm slain on the cross of Calvary. Friends, I want you to know this morning, he was the picture of the Lamb of God when he crossed over that brook. Friends, I want you to know, it took a lot of power to cross over that brook. He knew where he was going. He wasn't going to some happy place. He was going to a hard place. He was going to a place that he needed help. He was fixing to go to Gethsemane, and he was fixing to pray, Lord God, not my will, but thy will. Hey, if we can learn anything from Jesus, Father God, not my opinion, not my will, but thy will on my life. Hey, when he went over that brook, that blood was flowing through there, and he seen that blood. And when he run over there, he said, there's 250,000 lambs. He said, I want you to know, it won't blot out nothing like the Son of God. The blood out. Hey, the blood of Jesus, it'll make the vilest sinner clean. You said, preacher, I don't know what. You don't know what I've done. It don't matter what you've done. It matters what he done on the cross of Calvary. Hey, when he went over that brook, it was a picture of the Lamb of God. He went over the brook. Friends, he didn't have to go under the brook. He went over the brook. Can I get an amen? Hey, not only was it a picture of God, but it was the power of God when he went over the Kidron Brook. That blood was flowing down through there. I want you to know this morning, if you ever get over the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're in a bad situation. This morning it was a picture of the Lamb of God. It was the power of the Lamb of God, but it was the promise of the Lamb of God. John 1:29, the Bible says, and the next day that John seen Jesus, he was coming unto him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Friends, I want you to get this morning. That sin wasn't only my sin, but it was your sin this morning. When he died on that cross, he died for all humanity. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? It don't matter what anybody's ever done. Hey, everybody that's ever died and went to hell, that blood was shed for them too. Hey, won't be a man in the devil's hell. Hey, that God didn't die for him. Hey, won't be a man in hell. Hey, he didn't love him all the way there. Friends, I want you to know this morning, God doesn't send nobody to hell. The rejection of his son will send you to a devil's hell. He said the power of our Savior when he went over the Kidron Brook. He went over that brook. I don't know about you, but I thank God that he went over that brook. That brook didn't discourage him. That brook didn't back him up, but he done exactly what God had called him to do. He went over that brook. But let me show you something else in the text. Not only did Jesus, he went over the brook. He passed over that brook. He went over that brook because he had the power to do that. But let me give you this, the second thing this morning. Look here with me. And when Jesus has spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden. He said he went over to go into a garden. I want to give you this picture as well as the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hey, what the first Adam lost, the second Adam gained back for us. Can I get an amen? What the first Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, a second Adam, Jesus Christ, he gained it back in the garden. Friends, when he went into that garden to pray, and he went in there to pray, I believe he prayed for me, and I believe he prayed for you. He knew this day would come. You'd be sitting at Union Chapel Baptist Church, and you'd hear an old bald-headed preacher tell you that God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've ever done. It doesn't matter where you've ever been. He's a God in heaven, Brother Hayden. He's got so much power that he can save anybody this morning. Can I get an amen? He says this morning, at that power this morning, not only did he go over the brook, hey, but he went to the garden. He went to that garden to pray for you and me. And let me show you this morning. He says he went into the garden in which he entered and his disciples. Let me show you this morning. And Jesus entered into the garden. He entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, but there was two gardens. There was the Garden of Eden, and there was the Garden of Gethsemane. The Garden of Eden, Adam, let me give you this. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, Adam disobeyed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus obeyed. In the Garden of Eden, sin conquered Adam. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus conquered sin. Whoa, glory to God. Jesus conquered sin in that garden. Hey, what Adam couldn't do, Jesus did do. Get this. In the Garden of Eden, Adam took fruit. He took of the fruit of the forbidden fruit. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus took the cup. He took the fruit. He took the easy route, but Jesus took the hard route. He took that cup. Preacher, what was in that cup? Every sin that you and I would ever commit. He took on humanity. He took on sin. He took that upon him, and he nailed it to the cross of Calvary. And he says this morning in the Garden of Eden, Adam had to work. He said, because of your disobedience, you'll have to work. But get this, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus finished the work. Jesus finished the work. On the cross of Calvary, you know what he said? It is finished. What was finished? That payment was finished. That price was finished. That blood of that Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was finished on the cross of Calvary. But I want to show you the third thing this morning, and this is the meat of the sermon. This is what I wanted to get to, amen? This is right where we're getting good. Whoa, glory. Whew. He said he went over the brook. He had power to go over the brook. He had power to go into the garden and to defeat the garden. But then here comes these band of men going to come get him. He said it would be a band, and this band would be of 600 men. One man, you're going to send 600. What's up with that? One man, scared. They were scared to death. But I seen something, Brother Brent, when I read the text. When they walked up, they said, "Who?" Jesus said, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Them men was lost. You can't know Jesus unless he reveals himself to you. Except the Spirit of God draws you, a man, woman, boy, or girl cannot and will not be saved. According to the Bible. According to the book. So when they walked up, he said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "We're looking for Jesus." He said, "I am he." Let me give you this. When he reveals himself to you and he says, "I am the Son of God and you need to be saved," you know what you do? You fall before him. You fall before him. You get on your knees before an almighty God and you cry out and you say, "Lord God, forgive me. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Save my life. Wash me. Make me clean. I know you went over the brook. I know you went through Gethsemane. And I know your word can save my life." But let me give you this, what these men did. A saved man falls before him, but a lost man fell backwards. Lost man fell backwards. Man, when they got to where Jesus was, their salvation, their help, what they needed was right there. And instead of going to him, they fell backwards. This morning, I'd ask you a question in church. Are you sitting in this church each and every week? Are you going to Jesus or are you falling backwards? This morning, when you hear the word of God, does it make you go closer to Jesus or does it make you fall backwards? Friends, this morning, when Jesus Christ speaks to you, you must not go backwards. You must go forwards. But I want to give you this. When he calls you to come forward, it's going to cost some things. It's going to take some things. And it's going to have to do some things in your life. The old man will be crucified and the new man will come alive. He says that he done that. Let me show you this in the book, what the Word of God will do. I want to show you this morning. what the Word of God to do. Number one, Jesus went over the brook. Number two, Jesus entered the garden. But number three, Jesus spoke the word, I am. I don't know about you this morning, but that's enough for me knowing that He is who He says He is. He says, I am. The soldiers fell over by the power of His word. Look what He says here in verse number four. And Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come unto Him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? This morning, the million-dollar question is this. Who do you seek this morning? Who do you seek to please this morning? But here He asks the question, whom seek ye? And they answered Him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am He. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. As soon then as He had said unto them, I am He, they went backwards and fell on the ground. Friends, this morning I want you to know, if you'll come to where Jesus Christ is this morning, you won't never be a failure in life. Friends, I don't care what you do in life, knowing Jesus Christ is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life is to have a relationship with the Messiah this morning, the one that was dead, the one that was buried, and the one that had the power to raise Himself from the grave. And He said this morning that Jesus spoke the word, I am. And when Jesus speaks to you and I, we will be overpowered by the word of God. Amen. Let me go on here. Not only when He spoke that word and the men fell backwards, but get this, by His powerful word, He created, Brother Hagin, as you said this morning, He created the world. Turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. By His powerful word, He created the world. He spoke it into existence. He created the world. He spoke exactly what needed to be. This morning, I don't know what kind of turmoil you're in. I don't know what kind of mess you're in. I don't know what you've got yourself tied up in. But I do know this morning, whatever's tied you up, He can untie it this morning. Whatever's going on this morning, He can untie it this morning. And in Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. What He created? He created the heaven and earth. And the Word was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. I thank God when the Spirit moves, don't you? Whoa, it changes things. You know what? Look what it does when the Spirit of God moves. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God moves upon an individual, they once was in darkness, now they're being light. You once would be in darkness, didn't know where to go, where to turn, come to know Jesus Christ, and boom, the light comes on. The light comes on. I'm going to give you this right here, and I don't know where it's coming from. You ever watched the movie when you was lost? You watch that movie and it was a good movie. I'm talking about something, just a good movie. And then you get saved and you get on down the road a little while and you cut that same movie back on. And it's got the awful pottiest mouth. I'm talking about cussing, carrying on. And you're like, whoa. Well, preacher, why didn't I notice that the first time? You was in darkness. You was in darkness, you didn't understand. But when He shines that marvelous light upon you and you understand, when you start hearing that stuff and seeing that stuff, it changes all things. It changes all things about a man. A man will know then. He'll know what he should do. By His powerful word, He created the world. Let me give you this. Number three, by His powerful word, He calms the soul. Listen to this. Matthew 11:28, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not only by His word the men fell backwards, not only by His word He created the world, not only by His word He calms the soul, but by His word, get this, by His powerful word, He calms the raging sea in our lives. He calms just to speak a word. I want to share this with you, what the crucifixion means so much and why I'm so excited about this, okay? Amen. I can't stop here. 250,000 lambs slain. The blood's running under the Kidron Brook. Running under. It's running. They slain these lambs. These lambs are dead. Okay? They get done. Passover's over and they go back. Halfway in the year, they commit a sin. The guilt, the shame, the misery, the pain, the letdown, everything has to wait the next year when they do it all over again. Come on. They're having to wait. They're having to wait. They're going to the Holy of Holies, going to this place. When Jesus crossed over that brook and He went into the garden, He said, look here, you may sin, but you'll only care it as long as you want to care it. Uh-oh. What do you mean, preacher? You can waller in your misery all you want to waller. If you want to waller in it a year, your pity party, get in it. Get in that pity party. If you want to get in a pity party, get in a pity party. If you want to old me, get in the old me party. But all you have to do when he hung on that cross now, you don't have to wait on nobody or nothing. He's already paid the price. He said, what I do now, preacher, what excites me so much is knowing that he died on that cross. All I have to do now is I have a high priest that has entered one time. He is set at the right hand of the Father, always making intercession for me. All I have to do is call on the name of the Lord, ask the Lord Jesus. I say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a child of yours. I've messed up. I've slipped up. And I need you to forgive me. And instantly at that moment, instantly at that moment, peace will come over that individual. A change will come over that individual. And they'll be washed as far as the east is from the west. Folks, a saved man, as far as you've got to tote your sin, after you're born again, it's as far as you've got to tote it, as long as you want to. The misery and the pain you're in, you only tote it as long as you want to. You got an addiction in here this morning? You'll tote it as long as you want to. I've been to no, I ain't going there. That's not of God. Let me back up. You will tote it as long as you want to. I don't care what addiction you've got. You listen to me. I don't care what it is. You'll tote it as long as you want to. But when you come to the cross of Calvary, instantly he can change that individual. We're not going to go down that road today because I want to stay with Jesus. I don't want to get off no track. I want you to understand this. You'll tote it as long as you want to tote it because the work's been finished on the cross of Calvary. And the only way you'll get forgiveness, get peace, and get rest is looking to the cross. Looking to Jesus Christ. He said not only does he calm that soul, but let me show you this. He calms that soul in our life. Let me show you this in the Word of God. He says this, by his powerful word, he calms the raging sea. Luke 8:24, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. There was a calm. But not only by his powerful word that he created the world and he calms the soul and he calms the raging sea in our life, but by his powerful word, he spoke to them men. By his word, he saved souls. By his word, he saved souls. Romans 1:16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. James 1:21, the Bible says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. The word. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. When he went into that garden, he defeated Satan. In Matthew 4, he defeated Satan. You know how he did it? He defeated him by the word of God. He saved your soul by the word of God. The word of God today is Jesus Christ. That is our written word, infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. If you're weak this morning, if you're a Christian and you're weak, I'm talking about weak, get in the word. Study the word. The word will stay true to you. The word will stay. The power's in the word this morning. And I want to show you this morning. Can everybody see this Bible? J.D., take your mask off in just a second, son. And I want you to be loud when you say this. What does that smell like?
Smoke.
Y'all see this Bible? I'm telling you about the word that he spoke. He went over the brook. He went through the garden because his word. His word has power over everything. This book went through a total fire in Greenwood Springs, Mississippi. Our men, the Saturday before the house burnt, took a whole load of wood over there, piled it where it needed to go. The Wednesday night we left church, I got a phone call that the man's house was burning. Brian Scott, you can be a witness. When we pulled up, the flames was taller than this building. They was putting so much water on it, it floated the ark. Son, they was putting it to it. They was putting it to it. After they got the house cleaned up, bulldozed and everything, they started digging through. And they found the Bible. The Bible pages around the edge is black as soot. You see it. The Bible stinks. You smelt it. You don't believe the Word of God will change your life? Put it to the test. Put it to the test. Every other magazine, every other book in the house went up in flames. Everything in that house burnt. But the Bible? And what was in it? Papers that had been put in that Bible is the only thing survived that house fire. Except the people that lived there, they survived too. This morning, what I'm trying to speak to you is your pastor, power of God. There's three things that's going to last forever, but I'm going to give you two this morning. One of them is the soul of man. It will last forever. It'll last forever in heaven with Jesus, or it'll last forever in hell with Satan. The soul never dies. The soul never dies. But there's something else that never dies. I read to you, it said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And this word will not pass away. So, preacher, how do I know I can have a home of heaven? By putting this word, Jesus Christ, in your heart this morning. If you've been born again, you're just like this old Bible. Flames may come, smoke may come, and may a lot of things come your way this coming up week, month, year, I don't know. But I want you to know this, you'll be like this old Bible. You'll be able to stand the test of time, not because of you, but because of the power of our Savior. He went over the brook by His word. He went through the garden. And He defeated them soldiers by His word. This morning, I don't know what brook you're trying to cross. I don't know what garden you're in right now that's trying to defeat you. I don't know whose words are trying to defeat you, what kind of band that's been set against you. But I do know this, the only way you'll ever win out is by the word of God. Thy word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Let us pray. Father, I love You. Lord God, I thank You so much for this day. Lord God, the breath that I breathe is unpromised. Lord God, I know that, and I thank You for that. Lord, I thank You for Your inspired, infallible word this morning. Father God, this word cannot be destroyed. It'll stand the test of time. And Lord God, for every individual that has this word hidden in their heart, they too will stand the test of time. Lord, I pray this morning that when we leave this place, we can have confidence and assurance by saying that there ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Not by our power, but by the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I ask You this morning to have Your perfect will in this service. Be careful to give You the honor, the praise, and the glory You deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.